Say, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. God love you. Praise God. And his death on the cross revealed, praise God, the greatness of his love for sinners. That's why I try to tell people in this world, don't let nobody ever tell you that you're not worth nothing. Don't ever, 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 never, ever, ever, young folk, don't ever let nobody tell you that you are nothing, that you will not amount to nothing. If you don't tell them no more than the fact that you are a sinner saved by grace and that you are precious in the eyesight of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul picks that thing up in Paul right, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and he said, but God commended his love towards us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it is only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can begin, as Paul said, praise God, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, the height, and to know what the love of Christ. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Praise God. To know the love of Christ, which passes, praise God, knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's only through love that Jesus Christ had for us as sinners. And in an age that dehumanizes the individuals and discount the value of a person, we come to Calvary, praise God, to see how great God's love is for us. And I must tell you that it is a divine love. Oh, yes, it was a divine love. You see, it was a divine love that conceived the plan by which we could be saved. It was divine love that brought God's plan down to earth. It was divine love that carried out this plan of salvation on the cross. You see, as we partake of this communion on today, we see the greatness of God, of God's love for sinners being revealed. John writes the words of Jesus at John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, praise God, a greater love has no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friend. So we find that his death on the cross revealed the awfulness of sin. It revealed the greatness of God's love towards sinner. Praise God. Paul liked to say that, which he was chief. But I think I take that place from Paul. Praise God. But the third time thing that it reveals, Jesus' death reveals the value of a lost soul. Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to Jesus? Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to God? In the business world, the value of a person to an organization is often revealed by the price an employer is willing to pay for his or her service. And in some parts of the world, human life is considered very cheap. We saw this demonstrated about the last 2.5 weeks when we have a journalist to walk into Saudi Arabia to their consulate.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
K-A-I-T, Lakeshore. 1.1.
Now tune in to the media ministry
of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. He's brought each of us from a mighty long ways. I don't know about you, but I just thank him. Thank him for his mercy, and I thank him for his grace. This morning, with your prayers, I would like for you to look at Titus. Look at Titus in chapter number 3. Titus in our New Testament, chapter 3. Third chapter of Titus. And from this third chapter of Titus, is going to reveal to us the message of the gospel. And that will be our subject, the message of the gospel. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right. Anybody need a little more time? Say, hold on. Amen. We'll be reading from verse number 3 to verse number 7. And it reads, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God, our Father, we thank you for another preaching moment. We pray now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. In that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. From this passage we just read, look at somebody and say, "Neighbor, how's it going to preach about the message of the gospel?" Amen. And let me begin by saying that the word gospel in the original Greek language is translated the good news. And in the context of our text and the gospels, it's referring to the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin. He rose up from the dead 3 days later, defeating Satan, death, hell, and the grave, so that we might become the children of God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone. Now, the central truth of the gospel is that God provided a way of salvation, a deliverance from the penalty of sin that separates a person from God and leads to eternal damnation. But because of God's love for fallen humanity, God sent his Son into the world to die that we might live. And so the gospel in a nutshell is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that whoever believes and received him as Savior and Lord of their life will be saved. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 16, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is vain, or our faith is useless, and we are still under the penalty of sin and on our way to eternal damnation. But I thank God this morning that Jesus is alive, because he was raised from the dead, and right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God, and he's making intercessions for us. And my brothers and sisters, what makes the gospel the most important message the world has ever known is that it is the good news of salvation to a dying world. The good news that says if a person receives the message of the gospel, that person will experience forgiveness of sin and will receive eternal life. And so, would you pray this morning? I will talk for a few minutes on that subject, the message of the gospel, because this passage points out some very important elements of the message of the gospel that we all need to hear. Well, the first thing we see, it is a message of love. The message of the gospel is a message of love. Because as we consider the extent of this love in verse 3, we note that Paul here clearly reminds us who are saved of our condition before we were saved. Note he says we were once foolish, meaning we were ignorant of everything to do with God. We were disobedient, meaning we were rebellious toward God and any authority instituted by God. We were deceived, meaning we were constantly led deeper and deeper into sin by Satan. We were serving various lusts and pleasures, meaning we were slaves to our fleshly appetites and passions. We were living in malice, meaning we were given over to a lifestyle of evil. A life of envy, meaning we were never satisfied with what we had, but always grasping for more. We were hateful because this is the natural fruit of all of the above. Why? Because this kind of lifestyle makes us mean-spirited and hard to get along with. Also, we were hating one another, meaning we were walking without love for our fellow man. My brothers and sisters, this is what we were and what some folks still are. And therefore, the Bible reminds us repeatedly that before we were saved, we were fallen, ruined, spiritually bankrupt people. And in the natural, unredeemed condition, those who are not saved, you are worthy of nothing but judgment, wrath, and condemnation. But even in our fallen condition, God still loves us. And that's why the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but shall have everlasting life. But now he could have left us in our sins and allowed us to go on into eternal damnation. But he still loved us in spite of our condition. We note that Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31:4 that the Lord appeared of old to me saying, yes, I love you with an everlasting love. And so in verse 3, we see the extent of this love. But in verse 4 of the text, we see the evidence of this love. Note the text says in verse 4, after that. In other words, in spite of our spiritual condition, God chose to display his love for us. Well, how did God display his love for us? The answer is in verse 6. Note he says, through Christ Jesus, meaning God gave evidence of his love for fallen humanity by sending his Son into the world to die for us. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bottom line, my brothers and sisters, if you need evidence that God loves you, just look to no further than Calvary. You don't need a feeling, just look to the cross. Look to Jesus and see him as he dies for you on the cross, as he dies in your place and my place. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in through him. And then in verse 5, we see the explanation of his love. Although from our human perspective, there is no explaining of this kind of love. Because it makes you wonder, Brother Jones, why would God love lost sinners like you and me? Why does he save us from our sins? Why, Brother Jefferson, would a holy God set his love on sinners like us? Why would he give his son in our place? Why would he save us, cleanse us, adopt us into his family? Why would he do something of this nature? Well, my brothers and sisters, it's not because we deserve it, because he doesn't save us because he sees something good in a lost sinner. He doesn't save us because he knows what great servants that we'll become. But the reason God saves any sinner is found in the word mercy. Note the phrase says in verse 5, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And that explains God's reason for saving souls. Now, the word mercy speaks of kindness, a goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them of their afflictions. And justice gives us what we deserve. But if we receive justice, we will spend eternity in hell. But thank God that he works in our lives according to grace and mercy. And in his mercy, God does not give us what we deserve, but in his grace, he gives us what we do not deserve. Meaning God's mercy is an extension of his grace. And so, my brothers and sisters, we may not understand it, but God saves us not because we have earned it, deserved it, or seek it, but God saves us because he wants to. He saves us because he loves us. He does it because it brings glory to his name. Meaning it is not our works that produce salvation, but it's God's grace. Again, I say that's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so what is the message of the gospel? It says God loves you, God dies for you, and that God will save you by his grace. But not only is the message of the gospel a message of love, but the message of gospel is also a message of life. Because love is only part of the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is also a message of life. Remember, I've already told you how Jesus died for our sins. But the other side of the gospel concerns how he rose again from the dead. Note Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He said, I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I receive, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. My brothers and sisters, when a lost sinner believes the gospel, the life of Christ is shared with them. And that's why Jesus declared in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. My brothers and sisters, every person who comes to Jesus by faith to be saved is given eternal life. And that's why John 10:28 says, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Meaning we're given eternal life that began the very moment of our salvation. And so if you're saved, you already have eternal life right now. However, the verse of our text teaches us more about the gospel and the message of life. For we note in verse 5, it tells us how we are cleansed. Now, the phrase washing and regeneration refers to the cleansing that happens when we are saved. Now, some people view washing as speaking of water baptism. They think that our sins are washed away when we are baptized. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We are not cleansed by water baptism, because water baptism is merely an outward symbol of what God has already done inwardly when he saved us by grace. And so what did the Lord do? My brothers and sisters, when God saved us, he washed us in the blood of Jesus. And he cleansed our sins away. The word washing refers to a bath. Our sins were forever washed away. In other words, as far as God is concerned, the redeemed saints of God are clean, pure, and holy. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Because when the Lord saves us, he releases us from the power of sin, and it puts it away from us forever. My brothers and sisters, when we are saved, we are forgiven, and our sins are gone. But then verse 4 and 5 tells us how we are cleansed. Note verse 4 begins with the word but. The transition from the description to what we were before we met Jesus and to what he makes us by his grace. And then verse 5, there's the phrase of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now the word renewing means renovation, to completely change for better. My brothers and sisters, when God saved you by grace, the Spirit of God comes to live in our hearts. When he comes, he enters a dilapidated, run, decrepit building. He enters a building, a life that had formerly been condemned to destruction. He comes in and he remodels the place. He throws out the trash. He renovates our lives completely. Literally starts over, rebuilding us from the inside out. And then he transforms us from the wretched creatures that we are in the redeemed saints of God. Yes, Lord, he makes us new creatures to the glory of God. No wonder the Bible says if anybody be in Christ, they become new creatures. He said, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why is this? He gives us a brand new heart, and that new heart results in a brand new life. And then verse 7 tells us how we are completed in this new life that we have been given. Well, our completion is revealed here in two very important stages. First, we are complete because we have been justified by his grace. Now, the word justified means that our sins have been forgiven and we have been declared righteous by God the Father. Because he doesn't see us as we are, but he sees us in his Son, meaning we are complete in Jesus. Secondly, we are complete because we have been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, that simply means that we have hope of a better life when this life is over. I hear the Bible say, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Because when we leave here, we are going to a place that is more beautiful than the mind can conceive. A place that is free from pain, that is free from sorrow, that is free from suffering and tears that clouds our life, according to Revelation 21 and 4. And so we have eternal life right now, because our lives do not end when we leave this world. As children of God, we'll live in the presence of the Lord in heaven for all eternity. My brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel is a message of life. But then finally, it is also a message of liberty. My brothers and sisters, God is all about love. And praise God, he loves us. God is all about life. And praise God, he gives us eternal life. But the gospel is also about liberty, because we have been rescued. My brothers and sisters, when the gospel came to us, we were all headed to hell. We had no hope and no one to care about us. But God, in his grace, God in his mercy and his love, he reached into our lives and he lifted us out of the muck and the mire, and he rescued us from a life of sin. He rescued us from a life of sorrow. He rescued us from a life of waste. He rescued us from judgment, death, hell, and eternal damnation. I tell you, he delivered us and he set us free from sin and all his damning effects. My brothers and sisters, if there's anyone here this morning, or perhaps someone may be listening by way of radio, and you're still tangled and shackled and bound by sin, death, and eternal damnation, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is able to make you free. I thank God this morning, and not only am I saved from eternal damnation, but I'm free from sin and death. Because those of us who are saved, we have been resurrected. Because when we came to God, came to us, and the God we received the gospel, the Ephesians 2:1 say we were dead in trespasses and sin. But the grace of God brought deliverance from our sins and everlasting life. Because the Lord gave us his life, and he made us partakers of eternity, meaning we have been delivered from spiritual death, and we have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. And everything we were dead to when we were lost, we have been made alive to in Jesus. Because there was a time when the Bible was a dead book. The church was a dead place. Worship was a dead exercise. God was a dead being, and on and on. But now that Christ is in us and we are in him, we are alive to the Lord. We are alive to his word. We are alive to his house, his people, and his truth, and his glory. Because we have been born again. We have been regenerated. Because when the gospel came to us, we were walking in sin and darkness. We were blind, deceived, and doomed. But God in his grace, he reached down in our hopeless lives, and he changed us forever by giving us a new life in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I praise the Lord that I have a brand new life. And so as I try and move to the close, the message of the gospel is a message of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And greater love has no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for a friend. And so one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross for the sins of the world. He was buried in the grave for 3 days and three nights. But it's bright early Sunday morning. He got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. The message of the gospel is a message of life. For the Bible says, 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And finally, the message of